From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia supports the peace process in Myanmar. Ministry of Trade needs to strengthen the protection of domestic products. Now the news in details. Ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia to Myanmar, Iza Fadri, said that the Indonesian government has established good diplomatic relations with the government of Myanmar. As reported by Antara, Ambassador Iza Fadri said in Banda Aceh on Wednesday, Indonesia is committed to continuing to support the national reconciliation and the peace process in Myanmar. To strengthen bilateral relations and cooperation between Indonesia and Myanmar and enhance Indonesia's role in supporting national reconciliation and peace process in Myanmar, he said that the Indonesian embassy in Yangon held a peace process training in Aceh on July 24th and 25th. He also explained that the training is aimed at providing a capacity-building platform in the negotiations of peace processes, conflict resolutions, and post-conflict reconstructions programs. Member of Commission 4 of the Indonesian House of Representatives DPR, Darmadi Durianto, wants the Ministry of Trade to strengthen protection policies for domestic products, especially to face various imported products which are relatively cheaper. Based on the report of Antara News Agency, Darmadi Durianto said in Jakarta on Wednesday that protection must be done because product competitiveness, incentives, and employee productivity are still inferior to various other countries. Thus, the government needs to improve employees' productivity in Indonesia through vocational training that is evenly distributed in various regions. He also wants more maximum supervision of products entering Indonesia. Indonesian Furniture and Handicrafts Industry Association, HIMKI, estimates the volume of furniture export in Solo Raya to increase, along with the trade war between the United States and China. Antara reported that Chairman HIMKI in Solo Raya, Adi Dharma, said in Solo Central Java on Wednesday that the possible increase will be clearly visible in the next 3 months. He hopes there will be a 15% increase compared to last year. Adi Dharma added, if properly utilized, the occurrence of trade war between the United States and China, this could be a golden opportunity for Indonesia to replace its role as a producer. PT Pertamina and Indonesian Slum Woman Wasi are collaborating to campaign for education on the importance of underwater biota in national waters. Managing Director of PT Pertamina, Nika Widyawati, in a press release received by Antara in Jakarta on Wednesday said that her site proudly supports these activities as a manifestation of the cooperation social spirit towards Indonesia's resource development and concern. Pertamina, which supports Indonesian Diving Women, an organization under the auspices of the All Indonesian Diving Sport Association, has a big agenda in Manado, North Sulawesi, on August 3, 2019. The agenda is the breaking of 3 world records, mass dives targeting 3,000 divers, the longest human chain underwater, and the spread of the largest flag underwater. The activity is going to be held to commemorate the 74th anniversary of the Republic of Indonesia and as an effort to help promote tourism, the environment, nature conservation, and diving. Indonesian Ministry of Trade encouraged micro, small, and medium businesses in West Nusa Tenggara to utilize the Indonesian Trade Promotion Centers in 18 countries. Head of Subdirectorate of Export Information Development of the Directorate General of National Export Development at the Ministry of Trade, Aksamil Khair, said in Mataram on Wednesday that the promotion centers must be utilized because they have the task of selling Indonesian products abroad. He added that West Nusa Tenggara has various commodities that have the potential to export, such as fishery, handicrafts, and agricultural products. All of these commodities have markets in countries in Asia and Europe. Archaeologist and chairperson of Prambanan Temple Unit, Manggarsari Ayuwati, asserted that the temples in the Prambanan Complex area of Yogyakarta reflect tolerance values that have been upheld by the Indonesian people for a long time. As reported by Republika Online, Manggarsari said in Yogyakarta on Wednesday that the Prambanan Temple Complex area that has been confirmed as a World Heritage by UNESCO consists of five temples, namely Prambanan Temple, Lumbung, Sewu, Bubrah, and Gana. Of the five temples, Prambanan Temple is a Hindu one, while the other four are Buddhist temples. He added that religious diversity was highly upheld at the time and people lived in mutual respect. The United Arab Emirates will invest in the container port development sector and industrial estates in Gresik, East Java Province. Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi said at Bogor Presidential's Palace in West Java that the investment would be worth $1.2 billion. He also explained that the investment division is between the private sector of Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates Association, namely 51% compared to 49%. Previously, President Joko Widodo, along with the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, had witnessed the exchange of cooperation agreements between the two countries' business people. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here's today's commentary, which is entitled Research Institutions Downsized. Research is the backbone of the nation's progress. No nation has developed without good research. How is the condition of Indonesian research? To see the extent of the progress of Indonesian research, we can see the number of scientific publications that have been issued. Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir says that Indonesian scientific publications up to October 26, 2018 had reached more than 22,000 writings, ranking second in Southeast Asia after Malaysia. In 2016, Indonesia was still ranked fourth after Malaysia, Singapore, and Thailand. Therefore, Indonesia's achievement in the research field is certainly encouraging. But this ranking can actually be higher, considering the large number of research institutions in Indonesia that have reached more than 500. These research institutions are spread across various ministries, non-ministry government institutions, universities, and various research and development bodies in the provinces or regions, both government and the private sectors. These institutions must establish better coordination so that they produce good quality research. And until now, some institutions work on the same research topic, and there is no shared target nationally. To advance the works of research, the administration of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kala are downsizing research institutions to realize Joko Widodo's vision for the second period of his administration. The streamlining of research institutions that are being carried out by the government is very appropriate. The number of research institutions doesn't need too many to facilitate coordination and cooperation among the existing research institutions. In addition, the procurement of research funds from the government must be increased to support the research process. Of course, streamlining various institutions can make the research activities more effective and efficient. Moreover, the work of national research will be even better if the administration of Joko Widodo realizes the premise of
Vice President Maruf Amin in his campaign, namely to form a special body to coordinate national research institutions. And listener, that's the commentary today.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History. Well, Today in History starts for an event on July 25th, 1978, when the first test tube baby, Louis Brown, was born. The test tube baby program, which was initiated by Robert Edwards and Patrick Steptoe, had succeeded with the birth of the baby, Louis Brown. Louis Brown was born at Oldham and District General Hospital in Manchester, England on July 25, 1978, from parents of Leslie and Peter. Louis Brown was born at midnight through cesarean section with weight 2.27 kilograms. At the beginning, there were many pro and contra related to the process of the test tube baby after the successful one. As a result, a lot of couples who had fertility problems followed the program. In Indonesia, the first test tube baby, Nugroho Krianto, was born in Jakarta in May 2, 1988. The process was led by Sudraji Sumapraja, assisted by doctor's team. The next event is that in 1997, Narayanan became Dalit, or the first Indian from lower class who was elected as President of India. Narayanan began his career in India under the government of Nehru. He served as ambassador to Japan, Great Britain, Thailand, Turkey, China, and United States of America, and he was mentioned by Nehru as the best diplomat from India. He was involved in politics upon request of Indira Gandhi and won three successive general elections for Lok Sabha and served as state minister in the United Cabinet under the government former Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi. Elected as the ninth Vice President in 1992, Narayanan became President on July 25, 1997. The last event is that in 2000, supersonic Concorde crashed at Gonesia, I will say at Gons. The only fatal incident involving supersonic Concorde happened on July 25, 2000, when the passenger plane supersonic Concorde took off from Charles de Gaulle Airport, Paris, to John F. Kennedy, New York. The supersonic plane hit a titanium belonging to a plane of Continental Airlines DC-10, which was led on a runway. Titanium fragments stabbed the plane's tire so that it caused the tire to explode. The tire flakes hit the fuel tank, which then caused a fire. When the fire spread to the left wing of the plane, the engine stopped and the plane crashed. The plane crashed at the hotel in Gons Val d'Oise. 109 passengers along with the crew and four employees of the hotel were killed in the incident. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Kau pernah bilang cinta akulah satu-satunya. Kau bilang ku sempurna, kau cinta aku selamanya. Dan kau tuliskan lagu semua tentang diriku. Kau katakan padaku, jangan ragukan cintamu. Semua hanya rangkaian sempat buat ku berpikir semua yang kita punya nyata kamu dan semua kata-katamu semua palsu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia, titled Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry as Trade Ministry to Clarify the Detail HS Code. The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry has asked the Ministry of Trade to clarify the details and types of HS code to prevent the entry of hazardous and toxic materials. Harmonized Commodity Description and Coding System, or better known as Harmonized System, or HS, is an international standard for naming and numbering systems used for classifying trade products and derivatives. Director General of Waste and Toxic Material Management, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Rosa Vivin Ratnawati in Jakarta on Monday said that the duty of Ministry of Trade is to determine the necessary requirements based on the Trade Minister's regulation on provisions of import of non-hazardous waste and poisonous. While the task of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry is to check or ensure that the waste entering Indonesia is not a hazardous and toxic material. At present,
The relevant ministry is still in talks about revising the regulation of the Minister of Trade. Nevertheless, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry still adheres to the Re-Export Action, which refers to the law. Earlier, researcher of Indonesian Center for Environmental Law, ICEL, Fadri Fadila said that the two regulations on import waste, namely Law on Waste Management and Trade Minister's Regulation on Import of Non-Hazardous and Toxic Material, are quite strong to control waste import. According to Fadri, the government needs to re-evaluate companies that have plastic and paper scrap import licenses, whether they are in accordance with licensing, and whether the practices do not pollute the environment. That was My Indonesia.
Sahabat sejatiku, hilangkah dari ingatanmu di hari kita saling berbagi. Dengan kotak sejuta mimpi, aku datang menghampirimu. Ku perlihatkan semua hartaku. Kita selalu berpendapat, kita ini yang terhebat. Sombongan di masa muda yang indah. Aku raja, kau pun raja. Aku hitam, kau pun hitam. Arti teman lebih dari sekedar materi. Pegang pundakku, jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku mulai lelah, lelah dan tak bersinar, yeah. Sayapku jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku ingin terbang, terbang meninggalkanmu, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ku selalu menanyakanmu, kau pun selalu menyanjungku. Aku dan kamu darah abadi. Demi bermain bersama, kita duakan segalanya. Merdeka kita, kita merdeka. Pegang pundakku, jangan pernah lepaskan. Bila ku mulai lemah, lelah dan tak bersinar. Remas sayapku, jangan pernah lepaskan, yeah. Bila ku ingin terbang, terbang meninggalkanmu, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tak pernah kita pikirkan ujung perjalanan ini. Tak usah kita pikirkan jalanan ini. Tak usah kita pikirkan untuk jalanan ini, yeah, yeah. Pegang pundakku, bila ku lelah, remas sayapku, jangan pernah lepaskan.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to Sate Blengong, a typical food from Brebes, Santo Java. When you visit Brebes, Santo Java, you should try the typical food of the region, namely Sate Blengong. Blengong is kind of species of duck. The texture of meat is fibrous and soft when tasted, so that blengong meat is appropriate to be cooked for sate. However, it must be careful. Blengong meat must be processed correctly. Blengong meat is the same with duck meat. It can produce fishy smell if not processed correctly. To get softed and all the last blengong meat dishes, the meat is cooked twice for 2.5 hours each. Then, the meat is processed to be sate bakar or grilled sate and sate masak or cooked sate. For sate bakar or grilled sate, the blengong meat is cooked by being grilled with charcoal like sate in general. While sate masak or cooked sate, the blengong meat is boiled with spicy coconut milk and stuffed with long stick. The two kinds of sate are more delicious if eaten with ketupat. If you want to try sate blengong, please come to Brebes. It is not difficult to find food stall in Brebes which sells sate blengong. You can find a lot of vendors who sell sate blengong at Brebes Square. The price for sate bakar blengong is 60,000 rupiah per portion, which consists of 20 skewers. While for cooked sate, it is 6,000 rupiah per skewer and 12,000 rupiah for a portion of ketupat. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Tersirat dalam angan tuk tak pernah terjadi pertemuan manis itu.
Kini rasaku pun berucap, jelas aku tak ingin lagi melihatmu. Kini semua terlalu pekat untuk dikenang dalam angan. Lama coba berjalan, nyata tak satu tujuan. Janji-janji bersama menghilang seketika. Lama coba bertahan, benar aku masih cinta, namun bukan begini adanya. Biarlah.
Tak satu tujuan, janji-janji bersama menghilang seketika. Lama coba bertahan, benar aku masih cinta, namun bukan begini adanya. Biarlah jalanku,
ku pun kan terus melaju.
Ku lepaskan, tak bertahan, walau lupa tetap nyata.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. On 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listener, welcome back in our programs, our segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will present you information about 11 Asian countries participate in Solo Batik Carnival. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. An annual event of Solo Batik Carnival, or SBC, is going to be held again in Solo, Central Java. The implementation of the 12th Carnival this year is different from previous years. The participants will show the glorious costumes which describe their countries. There are 11 countries in Southeast Asia which are involved in the event that will be held at Sriwedari Stadium, Solo, Central Java on July 27, 2019. The 11 countries are Indonesia, the Philippines, Malaysia, Myanmar, Brunei Darussalam, Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia, Timor-Leste, Thailand, and Singapore. Solo Batik Carnival 2019 has a theme, Suvarna Bumi, the Golden of ASEAN. Suvarna Bumi means a golden country. Chairman of the Carnival Foundation, Susanto, said that the carnival can be likened as valuable gold and found by many people. In addition, the event becomes an interesting attraction not only in Indonesia but also in Southeast Asia. Head of Tourism Office of Surakarta, Hasta Gunawan, said that the event is enlisted into 100 top event of national tourism in Indonesia. His side hopes that the implementation of the event can increase tourist visit to Solo. Meanwhile, Mayor of Surakarta, Francisco Saverius Hadi Rudiatmo, said that Solo Batik Carnival 2019 aims to show Solo to the world. Interestingly, each delegation will show characters of their country on its costumes which are worn by them. Certainly, those costumes use magnificent batik motifs. Take for example, Malaysian delegation will show Twin Towers. Petronas, or the delegation from Thailand, will show characters of elephant on its costumes. The participants will walk going down Jalan Selamat Riyadi as long as 4 kilometers. Listener, that was our segment today, Miscellany. Thank you very much for listening.
Dari yang sudah-sudah, cinta hanyalah bualan. Dari yang sudah-sudah, hanya rasa tanpa tujuan. Aku ingin berhenti, lelah aku mengaruh. Menikmati bintang berpijar, sampai nanti, sampai kita bertemu kembali, sampai nanti cahayamu menuntunku lagi. Jangkar sudah terjatuh, aku sudah benar-benar luluh. Yang aku lihat terang, yang ku lihat masa depan, hangat dalam dekapan, aku merasa sedang ku. Sampai nanti, sampai kita bertemu kembali. Sampai nanti, cahayamu menuntunku lagi. Jangkar sudah terjatuh, aku sudah benar-benar. Kapalku telah bersaung, aku tak ingin jauh. Padamu aku akan berlabuh. Sampai nanti, sampai kita bertemu kembali. Sampai nanti, cahayamu menuntunku lagi. Jangkar sudah terjatuh, aku sudah benar-benar luluh. Dari yang sudah-sudah, hanya kaulah arti.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Hello listener of Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I present one of hit songs in the 1970s, titled Jatuh Cinta, sung by Iis Dahlia. Besides Iis Dahlia, the song also covered by a legendary singer and songwriter Titiek Puspa and Eddy Silitonga. The song Jatuh Cinta has a dynamic musical rhythm. This song describes someone who falling in love. Well, listener, here is the song Jatuh Cinta by Iis Dahlia.
Berjuta rasanya dipeluk dicium amboi rasanya jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya biar siang biar malam manislah nampaknya dia jauh aku gemas tapi hati rindu dia jalan gak boleh menuju sembarangan mana dia suka datang terlewat
jatuh cinta berjuta rasanya dia siang dan malam apun rasanya
jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya biar siang biar malam manislah nampaknya oh asyiknya. Jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya biar siang biar malam manislah nampaknya dia jauh aku gemas tapi hati rindu dia dekat aku senang tapi salah tingkah dia hati sukanya cewek yang gak manja kita kan manja biarpun begini kita pun gini-gini kita kan pengen disayang juga jatuh cinta berjuta indahnya biar siang biar malam manislah nampaknya oh asiknya.
Sampai akhir hidup ini di di hatiku tiada yang lain selain dirimu. Kau pelita hidupku, di hatiku hanya kau kasih dambaan kalbuku. Kau tumpuan harapan yang terakhir. Hatiku tiada yang lain selain dirimu. Kau pelita hidupku, di hatiku hanya kau kasih dambaan kabuku. Kau tumpuan harapan yang seiring datang gerimis perlahan. Tangisku pun tersendat pilu, tiada kau yang masih kurambakan. Di sini di pembaringan aku sendiri, menanti sampai akhir. Di hatiku tiada yang lain selain dirimu. Kau pelita hidupku, di hatiku hanya kau kasih dambaan kalbuku. Kau tumpuan harapan yang terakhir.
Oh, Oh, Berhembus angin malam mencekam, menghempas membelai wajah ayu. Itulah kenangan yang terakhir denganmu. Ku dekati dirimu, kau diam.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.